Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my 3-1, I almost went 4-0, but he only went 3-1 co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you tonight, sir?
So, we did the same, and yeah, I had a lot of zombies, you had a lot of vampires. It's a very gothic night tonight.
It was very gothic. We went dark.
Very dark.
We went full-blown dark. In fact, we'll go right into, you know...
Untap, upkeep, and draw.
All right, so untap, upkeep, and draw. Well, here's what we're going to go over tonight, folks. Yes, obviously, we are going to talk about Friday Night Magic. It was our triumphant return to Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill, New York. If you've never been there, well, you probably don't live near here. But it's definitely worth the trip. We had a good time. We did pretty well. We saw some newer decks, changes in decks, things like that. For our combat phase, as promised, Throne of Eldraine changes to the booster pack styles. Is it a money grab, good or bad? Main two, we're actually going to talk about a little bit about the Planescation this week, the arena event, as well, the Singleton, really. And then we have actually a couple of emails and tweets from people about Ask Aramis. So it is actually a full show tonight. So I'm kind of excited. And yes, we're in untap, upkeep, and draw. So of course, you know, I'm going to untap. Little summer ale again this evening, so, you know, hashtag not sponsored. Salute, you're probably having bottled water.
Yes.
Oh, that's still good. Let's get right into...
Main phase.
All right, main phase. Wow, Aramis, so, we returned.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, man? Friday Night Magic, Kerwin's Game Store.
Well, I mean, it was like, it's a brand new metagame, because the
it
last
really
time
was.
Both of us played was before Core 2020... rotated in, so you know, breaking news, I didn't bring Esper Control.
Yeah, I know, and the world didn't end.
The world did not end. I actually brought Bant Scapeshift. Yeah, and that deck is
it's
kind of nuts.
It's good.
Kind of
nuts. It is good. I don't know how it's going to do long term.
Well, I mean,
it is
it's going to rotate out.
Yeah. A lot of it's rotating out.
Well, it doesn't matter what else it is. Scapeshift is rotating up. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's still a really good deck. You know, so... I mean, well, how did you do? I mean, obviously, we kind of joked about it. We both went 3-1.
Yes, we both went 3-1. I got the random promo pack.
You suck, by the way.
Gotcha.
Which I should have got, because I came in third place.
Like, you know. For always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
You know what? Never mind.
Well, you know, it went to first and second, and then it went to two random people after that, so...
And you know what? I gotta be honest with you. I hate that. I think that's crap.
Well,
Because nobody would have got anything if Kerwin's didn't hold on to their promo cards from this. I think Wizard's whole thing on this is kind of... Well, to be quite honest, it's kind of... Forgive the language, folks. It's shitty. Like, it's terrible. Like, people are paying to play Friday Night Magic. You want to encourage people to come... I understand not giving, you know, top-tier stuff, but having these foil promos was always kind of a nice... If you're building a deck, it allowed you to kind of build your deck out and bling it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You took the cards you needed. Like, it was cool. And these promo packs, yeah, you have the possibility of getting something, but only so many people can get it. Usually it's three. So what do we have, like 14 playing Friday Night Magic and only three, five people got packs?
Something like that, yeah. I'm trying to see... Because I got, do I have my promos here? Yeah, I did. I got my promos. I don't know if you could see them. The camera shows. I got my two promos. They're going to go in my Scapeshift deck.
Yes.
So, you know, I got the one promo for participating. I got the promo for finishing 3-1. Because Kerwin's has a bunch extra.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we wouldn't have got those.
No. Nope.
They're never giving those out. The only things they're giving out are these promo packs. These three cards, random cards in a little pack that...
Well, there's four.
Was there four? Okay.
Yeah, there's four.
Usually there's like a foil land and then three other
randomized cards. There's a chance of getting anything in there that's foiled, and the chance of just getting other stuff that's just, you know, regular. Like mine didn't have any foils, but I did have the alternate frame negate.
Yeah, I like that card.
Which is freaking beautiful. It's a really nice art from Rivals of Ixalan.
Right.
And the rest of my cards were, you know, they have the little Planeswalker stamp. I don't know if you can see that on camera.
Yes.
It's got the little stamp in the corner. I got the Plains, Demanding Dragon, and Dracuseth, which is nothing crazy, but
and
it's a nice promo.
Scotty says it's pretty.
Yeah, they are. They're real pretty. The growth spirals are just, the art was already gorgeous, and having that, the different colored frame and the foil effect, it's just, it's gorgeous.
They were, and they are. I mean, I got two thought erasures, because why not?
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that's what's one of the better cards to get. I mean, yeah. Like, my first place, they get a better pack than everybody else. I think they're guaranteed foils.
Okay.
Or it's a bigger pack, and there's a different selection of cards that are there. And then the next three get the kind that I got, that you could get a foil, you could not. But I mean, overall, yes, I would rather everybody at least get something.
Right.
I think Kerwin's is doing it better because, you know, unlike a lot of other LGSs, they really like to take care of their players. So, you know, everybody's going to get their foil promo. You know, the winner's going to get their big promo pack. The second place is going to get a promo pack. Two other random people are getting promos. And then they give out extra promos and booster packs depending on your record. And I think that's probably the way that most stores should do it, but I think a lot of stores don't have the same resources that Kerwin's has, so.
That's probably true. And I guess I understand it.
And Wizards also, too. Wizards has a history of not giving a rat's ass about the game stores. You know what I mean?
That's true. Well, especially lately. I mean, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week. You know, but so how did you do then? You went 3-1.
Went 3-1. I won against Dimir Control, I won against Gruul, and I won against, honestly, it was a mono-red deck, but it was like the starter deck. The dude ended up going 2-2 with it, so hell, you know, that just goes to show, you can bring anything to Friday Night Magic, you might do pretty well. 2-2 is nothing to sneeze at for a starter deck against meta tier 1 decks.
Yeah, I know, I had tier 1, you had tier 1, so, yeah. I mean, to be able to go 2-2...
Yeah, so I mean, like, I probably could have gone 4-0 fairly easily. I mean, the match against Bant Ramp, I got
Is
mad.
Is that what you lost to?
I double mulliganed game 1.
Ooh.
Game 2, I got pretty much the nuts draw. I think I end step cast like 16 zombies on him.
Ooh.
And then the third game, I drew all my ramp, but none of my action. And it's tough for a deck like that because it's 29 lands, and by name, there's only 9 non-land cards in the deck.
That's true.
You know, it's very limited in what your options are in the deck because it's all, okay, we're ramping to get lands. We need to get Field of the Dead out. If we don't, here's Scapeshift. Let's blow up all our lands, get a bunch of lands plus a couple Fields of the Dead. Here's a bajillion zombies. If you don't have an answer this turn, you're dead.
Yeah. And that's, you know... I do. I like that. I'm going to build it because I've been playing it a little bit on Arena and having fun with it.
It's so much fun.
It is fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love Simic Flash, even though nobody's playing it anymore. I actually put it together in paper today, and at lunch I was playing Ricardo and one of my students, and he just got salty.
That deck doesn't play in its own turn. You play on your opponent's end step. That's so mean.
I mean, he was getting very upset. Like, and it was to the point where I was like, oh, this must be what happens if on Arena, on the other side of the internet. I see. Because
that's when they rope.
I've never seen, you know, because I've only played this on Arena, so I've never seen what it looked like. Mm-hmm. Made me feel a little better about it.
I had a pretty satisfying moment on Arena, I think Sunday morning. I played a quick couple of games just to get it in. I played one game with Scapeshift. Mm-hmm. I've never seen somebody concede to a turn one Arboreal Grazer before.
You're kidding.
It was Forest, Grazer, Scoop!
He's like, nope, I don't even want to bear
it. Don't even want to deal. It was a best of three, and he says, whole match, bye-bye. Don't even want to deal with it. And I was like, okay, I mean, there's no guarantee I'm going to do anything. I'll take the wins.
The only deck playing Arboreal Grazer is Scapeshift. I mean, I don't blame him either. Like, I just don't want to get pissed off.
because I remember when War of the Spark Limited, you know, when they were doing the draft and the ratings and everything that came out, it's like, Arboreal Grazer is a card that does not belong in your deck. It does not belong in your sideboard. Do not play this card. And now it's a card in one of the strongest decks in the format and standard. So it's funny how things work out sometimes. It reminds me of when Ornithopter was really big in Affinity.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny, actually. Sorry, Wendy just left, so I missed part of that.
That's fine.
Okay, cool. Well, what did you say? I want to hear it.
Interested. I was just talking about how, you know, everybody was saying Arboreal Grazer was terrible, and it is, but it's in one of the best decks in the format.
I don't think it's terrible.
It doesn't do anything.
It blocks. It's a wall, and yeah. It lets you bring out a land.
But if you don't have it in your opening hand or early enough in the game,
true.
It's damn near useless. I mean, at least Ornithopter flies, and it's free.
I get that a bit, but it's still...
No, yeah, it has a perfect use in that deck. I'm not saying anything, but I was saying how, like, in War of the Spark Limited, they're like, this card is terrible.
Yeah, I get that. In Limited, it was pretty, you know...
But it's Constructed All-Star, which is just hilarious.
But, yeah, so we already talked about that, and it's my background tonight. I went in. I was going to try to do Simic Flash. I actually got some of the cards for it. I was ready to go in paper. And then I did a little more research, and I did a little more playing around, and I went looking through the stuff I already had on hand. And I had about 3/4 of the Vamp deck. I needed Knights of the Eben Legion. I needed Sorin, and I needed, a few of the other things there. So I basically was like, you know, what the hell? I'm going to have fun. So I put together the Vamp deck, and man, was that just sick.
Yeah,
like, this is the best I've ever... This is the best night of cards I've ever played. It was really... And it played itself. I mean, game one, I was playing up against an Esper tempo, which, you know, you sit there and talk about Esper control. Well, the thing about it is that this the thing about... I think the real strength of the Vampire deck is the fact that it's a lot of 1 and 2 drops. I have a 4 and a 6. The 4 can be... And everything can be cheated with Sorin. So I can get anything above 3 for 3. If I can get Sorin out.
Right.
So, game one, I'm playing Esper Tempo. And, I mean, dude, this is how good it was. I kept a hand with 2 lands because it had Legion's Landing and Knight of the Eben Legion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kept a hand with black and white. I think one of them was Godless Shrine. So I put those down. And I never saw a land again. It was literally like a game of Arena. Mm-hmm. I went 4 rounds.
Oh,
but I kept...
2 land keep?
Because again, I was like, what are the odds of me not getting lands? I think I got 24 lands in that deck.
1,000%.
Yes. Well, no, here's the thing, though. The one thing about this deck is that, yeah, I went 4 rounds without land. I hung. Like, mm-hmm. First of all, because I was playing Esper Tempo, I think if I was playing any other aggro deck, I'd have been screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But Esper Tempo, I mean, I'm just playing Eben Legion. Now, he might have found a way to get rid of it, but then I drew another one and I get it out. And I've got a Danto Vanguard, so I'm doing, turn 3, I got a Vanguard out. I had enough 1 and 2 drops to keep it, to keep me competitive. And then on turn 5, when I got my 3rd land, now I'm playing Sorin. Now I'm bringing in Sanctum Seeker. Now I'm attacking for 2, but doing, 6 damage to you. Like, I was able to hold. So game 1, I crushed him. Game 2, I mean, it wasn't even a contest. I brought in a Leyline and something else. I really didn't sideboard out much because I didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So game one was real quick. Game two, I played, Josh. First of all, Josh listened. So shout out to Josh. You know, I love it. He walked over. He's like, you're playing Vamps. You're playing Scapeshift. Like, how the heck do you know that? He's like, it's not like I don't listen to your show, guys. I was like,
well, Scapeshift was one of my options, and I hadn't really finalized it yet. I actually ended up building a framework to Scapeshift, to Esper Hero, and for Simic Nexus.
Yeah.
So I had 3 choices going in, and depending on what singles Kerwin's had would tell me what deck I was going to play, and they had enough for Scapeshift. So I was like, all right, going with Scapeshift. That was my first choice.
Yeah, and in game 2, I played him. So I like playing Josh because he brews, but he's actually good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes with that damn Knights deck, which I played him with before. Rolls in with a mono black Knight deck. I lost game 1 handily. He kept bringing out that damn priest, sacrificing things and making...
Priest of Forgotten Gods.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he kept bringing it out of his graveyard. Game 1 went a while, but I mean, I died.
Did he have Gutter Bones?
Yes.
Yep.
Of course.
I've seen that deck.
And then he brought the ones from that came in with this set. There were a couple of things in Core 20 that really took him over the top.
Sanitarium Skeleton?
No, something else.
Corpse Knight?
I think it was Corpse Knight. A few other things.
But black-white, so I don't know. You said it was
No, he was strictly black. He had a few things. I can't even remember.
Hmm.
Oh, wow, that's on. However, game 2, what I did was I sideboarded you know, obviously I sideboarded in Cleansing Nova. Like, my sideboard is not the meta. I went to MGG Goldfish and I looked at it and I said, okay, this sideboard is not set up for Scapeshift, which I knew I was going to see if you were there. Nor is it set up for, like, anything that goes wide. So I kind of screwed around with it. And it doesn't do Graveyard Hate or Mono Red. I was like, it's got good sideboard, but not great. So what I did was I sideboarded. I actually had two Ley Lines of Sanctity in there. I had a Ley Line of the Veil. I had Cleansing Novas, things like that. I had, like, a very wide array of things. Sideboarded in Ley Lines of Sanctity. I sideboarded in my Ley Line of the Veil. And in game two, I had Ley Line of Sanctity in my hand. So got to start with that. So now he can't target me, like, with the little priestess, he can't make me sacrifice.
Ooh, okay.
So it shut it down.
Nice.
He could still do stuff, but meanwhile, I'm getting my creatures out. I'm rolling in. Sanctum Seeker comes out turn four, you know, and then I got Champion of the Dusk out turn five. So, I mean, I'm good. You know, he swept, I think, turn six. Game three, I shut his deck off. I put out both Leyline of the Sanctity and Leyline of the Veil. It completely nice. Shut his deck off. Because that deck's all graveyard. That deck is all grab it out of your graveyard, put it here.
Right.
He had none of it. So we played the whole third game, but I mean, it was, he just couldn't do anything. He was really stuck. He was playing a mid-range deck.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I rolled that pretty well. It was fun, though. I mean, and I really like playing Josh because not only that, he's a good opponent. If he's winning, he's not a jerk about it. And if he's losing, he's not salty about it. In fact,
yeah, he's very even-keeled.
Well, he's also watching and he's learning. And I could tell that. I'm like, and he's like, oh, I'm going to see this deck again. So this is good. You know, he's like, he knew too. He's like, this vampire deck's kind of
no, it's
insane.
Legit. It's the premier aggro deck in the format right now. By the way, hi, Ricardo.
Hey, Ricardo.
We're at the point in the format where the most powerful versions of every archetype have made their presence known. Which is, you know, kind of funny considering that Nexus is not the most powerful combo deck anymore.
No.
And because Scapeshift kind of eats its lunch. and then, you know, Mono Red is not the premier aggro deck. It's Vampires.
Right.
And Control is ...
Yeah.
Absent.
Control? I think Control still, I would still consider Simic Flash Control.
That's more mid-range or tempo.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Because you're not really countering that much stuff. I mean, you want to get your big beat, like your Night Pack Ambusher. That's not a control card.
No, that's
like, all right, I cast it at the end of your turn. I'm going to sit back and flash in a bunch of stuff and make a bunch of wolves. So, can you deal with this? No? Die.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing about that for me, though. I mean, I sit there and I listen to that. I see that, but it's, I think Simic Flash is more control because the thing about Simic Flash is that, yeah, it's got the knight, the wolf, and all that, but it's old school control. Control was always like turns one through six, you're just trying to keep the board on an even keel. You're trying to remove things that shouldn't be there. You want to make sure so that when you bring your stuff out, your stuff can hit. That is literally how I see Simic Flash. It's designed to be control. It's designed to be like, I'm not going to let you get a board state so that when I bring my wolf out, you're done screwed.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a hybrid. It's got controlling elements for sure. It's got aggressive elements for sure. It's like a mid-range control. We'll call it that.
I do love the wolf, though.
Oh, that wolf is absurd. you let that thing sit for more than a couple of turns. I mean, it's kind of gross.
It happened today. Ricardo couldn't get rid of it. And
it's just there's so much value.
He's in the chat room right now. Ricardo couldn't get rid of it.
There is so much value in that wolf. I mean, and if you get that card in limited, like in draft, you are slam first picking that card, and you are not looking back. I mean, there's no reason to leave green at that point.
No, not at all.
Because it's just stupid.
Right, and it really is. So, game three. So, getting back to what Friday night, I ended up playing this mono red brew. It was not like the stereotypical. It did have, you know, Gitu Lava Runners and things of that nature. But he also had a little bit of flavor in there. He had the Spitfire and stuff like that. He
right.
definitely had the Scorch Spitter.
Okay.
So game one, I lost to basically entirely mana screw, and I mulled to five because literally one hand had one land and one hand had no. So,
yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. So I never got anything out. I never really had a shot. He was, you know, when I mulled down to five, I had like two land, three one drops. Every time they came out, he had a shock. He had a bolt. He had, you know, I was just like, wow, this sucks. Game two, however, I got smart. And I held Knight. I did start with Knight of the Yeaman Legion. Mm-hmm. And again, Leyline of Sanctity went out pregame. So go ahead. Try to burn me. You can't. Sucks to be you.
Yep.
So game one, I lost. But game two, I held Knight and handled turn three. I brought out Sky Marcher and Conquistador turns one and turn two so that basically, I'm like, go ahead, shock the living daylights out of these things. Go to town. Get them out of your hand. And he did. And then on turn four, so I get Knight of the Yeaman Legion out turn three. Or no, I got Sorin out and then brought Knight out because I didn't actually have another Knight or Vamp in my hand. So he basically frenzied on turn four and started flooding. Like, I felt so bad for the guy. I'm like, oh. Shit, man, I'm sorry. So I got, you know, I got the Knight of the Even out, and I got a second one out, and then I Sorin'd off the Sanctum Seeker on turn six for the win. It was pretty good. Game three, I had my entire, I mean, it was the nuts draw. It was four mana. I had a Knight of the Even Legion, Legion's Landing, Sorin. I curved completely out. I got two Sanctums out on the board by turn four, and Champion of Dusk on five.
Yeah,
like he had no crazy. Chance.
There's not much any deck can do against that kind of speed. So,
so I mean, I was like, woohoo! And then there was game four.
Yeah.
Then I gotta admit, I was feeling a little haughty in game one through three. I'm like, all right, this is good. I'm golden. I'm a magic god. Yeah. That happened. Scapeshift, but not Scapeshift normal. Scapeshift gates.
Oh, so it was gate shift.
Yeah,
okay.
That son of a wasn't even close, man. Game one, I ended up mulling down to five. There's nothing I could do. I knew what I was playing. I knew she had Scapeshift, so I wasn't keeping anything that didn't have aggro. So I mulled down to five because my first hand had four lands in it and two Champions of Dusk and a Sanctum Seeker. I was
too slow.
No, way too slow. And my second one was one land and like a couple of two drops and a Sanctum Seeker.
Right.
It's like, nope, that's gone too.
Yeah, that's so not going to help you too much.
So then I mulled down to five. I got some interaction going. And then, you know, sure enough, she managed to get things going. She got Teferi out, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. That's the big thing with the Scapeshift decks. The people are all scared about Scapeshift. And, like, it's been with every other deck that has it, Teferi is actually the linchpin because it's the whole, all right, not only can you not play anything but outside of sorcery speed, at the end of your turn, I'm going to Scapeshift. And, wait, is that four Field of the Dead in play with six other lands? Is that 47 zombies? Yes, it is.
It was worse than that. She was Gates of Blazing.
Oh, boom.
Yeah. My nightmare. So I was losing four to keep a Vanguard out there. Every time she did that twice. And then game two, I ended up mulling down to four. I did get a lane line, or not a lane line out. No, wait, I mulled down to five. I'm sorry. And then I, the upside to that was it, we did have a little more interaction, and I did get to settle the record. She did not see it coming.
Yes.
She came at me with 22 zombies, and I'm like, boop. And she's like, I guess I'll go search for lands. I'm like, you have 22 basic lands in your deck? She's like, no. I'm like, okay.
Yep, settle the wreckage. The number of times you've fallen for it, I'm glad you finally joined the right time.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, it was, I gave it a run. Not to insult anybody. But at 20 years old, I hope I wasn't, she was a little obnoxious.
She's playing a good deck.
She winning and not being obnoxious.
I didn't see how the match was being played, so I'm not gonna do anything.
No, I don't mean to insult anybody personally, but there was a part of me that's just like I would put Knight of the Yeaman Legion out, and she goes, "Oh, I should just sweep now. That's gonna crush my game." I'm like, screw you.
Well, I mean, the only thing I could think of is that maybe she didn't have the answer in her hand at that point. Also, too, it could have been part of her strategy to get into your skin.
Yeah, which was what?
Because, you know, you're on the other side of it, and if you're getting salty, you're going to start making mental mistakes, which makes it easier for her to win.
There was no chance to make a mental mistake. I had nothing. I went
to a gunfight. Yeah, but she can't see your hand, so.
I went to a gunfight with a Nerf gun. I mean, it was just, there was no way I was going to roll.
Behold the power of the field.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with it. Like I said, I think I got third place. I really would have liked second, but the guy who was playing Josh ended up, you know, beating me in tiebreakers, which, again, sucks, because I'm like, I was at the championship table.
Yeah, that was the guy that beat me.
Like, this is what I don't understand. Okay, we were both 9-0, but yet, oh, because I couldn't play Josh again. That's right. That would be why.
Yeah, because it goes by your game win percentage, your opponent's, or like, it's like match win percentage, your opponent's match win percentage, and then your opponent's game win percentage. So he had better tiebreakers on you on at least one of the first two tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
well, and he couldn't play Josh. Josh was definitely in the, because I couldn't play Josh again because I'd already played him.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just like, whatever.
So his tiebreakers were better. So the people that he played did better than the people that you played.
Right. And we were seeing some interesting decks. I mean, this is what I really enjoyed about Friday Night Magic is that, you know, you do see, like I said, Josh's little knight deck. I love the way he's been brewing that thing. It's annoying as hell to play. But, you know, it was fun to play. I mean, we saw you and I can't remember the girl's name. I don't think anybody else was doing Scape Shift.
Yeah, but she was playing a different version of it. She was playing an older version. Yeah, the Gate Shift deck is not the popular version. I was playing the Bant Scape Shift deck, which I think it was what LSV won the GP with.
I'm seeing now Sultai Scape Shift.
There is Sultai Scape Shift now too. Yeah,
that just seems mean.
Yeah, throwing the black in there.
Yeah, but I, you know, I was taking a look at some of that stuff. You know, like you had a Dimir control. I mean, watching the Dimir control versus the Esper tempo deck, like they went to time, and I think 5 extra minutes. Like it was like those. That was that. I think it was round two where those two were just playing and playing and play. I was like, it was like a tennis game between, you know, Helen Keller and Ray Charles. It was just endless love. I mean, you were all trying to interact with each other.
Wow.
But it was, you know, it was good. I mean, did you see any other decks there that were kind of, I mean, I know there was a Gruul Ilharg deck. Mostly.
I played the Gruul deck.
Yeah, did you like the Gruul deck?
I liked the Gruul deck. I beat the Gruul deck.
You did?
Yeah.
You know who put that Gruul deck together?
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
I do like that deck.
Ilharg's great and all, but he can't really do much against 13 zombies.
Yeah.
What happened was that he cast Ilharg, and he attacked with Ilharg, and he put something else into play. I forget what it was. And in response, because I had Teferi out, I cast Scape Shift.
You suck.
Had 3 Field of the Dead in play, made about 30 or so zombies, and they all went to the pig.
See, I talked to him about that. I said, you know, like, the sideboard for that, I did partially sideboard for Scape Shift too. I mean,
he didn't sideboard at all.
Yeah, that's just it. He doesn't. And I'm like, dude, there's Collision Colossus. There's Cinder Vines. Like, there's 3 of them. Like, dude.
Well, Cinder Vines doesn't really do much against Scape Shift.
Isn't it every time you cast an instant or sorcery, it does the damage?
Yeah, but you're only casting one spell.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, by that point, by turn 6, where he's got Ilharg out, it's expected that he's got you down to maybe 10 or 9, maybe?
Yeah, but I mean, I had, you know, Elvish Rejuvenators, Arboreal Grazers.
Did you?
I was bouncing stuff with Teferi, so, I had Chump Blockers, and then the zombies started flying in.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point of that deck is to be fast early and then, you know,
no, a good sideboard card for Gruul against Scape Shift would be Flame Sweep.
Yes. Which I'm going to put in that deck because I found it today.
Flame Sweep is a great card. Or even Fiery Cannonade.
Right. Fiery Cannonade's in there. So, yeah. Actually, that really would be good. You're right. Because of the whole...
Because they're all tutus and they're not pirates.
Oh, I think I got a Cleansing Nova off on her too, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there was a couple of times I swept that board.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that they get creatures just by playing lands.
Yeah, I know.
There's nothing you can do to stop that outside of
But in red, there's plenty. You get Alpine Moon or whatever it is, Blood Sun, whatever the frack it's called.
Yeah, but who plays that?
People are starting to now. People are starting to play that. They're starting to play more land. I mean, I had two Field of Ruin in my sideboard. And if whatever deck I play, I'm going to put two Field of Ruins in the sideboard. Automatic.
Yeah.
You have to. You know, you got to do whatever you can to slow it down. You know, I saw some of that. I saw some, you know, nobody else was playing Vampires, which is nice. I did see a couple of starter decks. You know, there was one kid there, which was really kind of cool to see. I'm trying to think of what else we saw. I mean, there was a mono blue, I think. Somebody was rolling around with a little mono blue.
I believe so, yes.
You know, but
well, the other thing too is that some of the newer decks, especially the Scapeshift deck. I mean, that's got a good amount of high priced mythics in there. I mean, you got four Hydroid Krasis, you got four Scapeshift. Teferi is a rare, but it's like a $17 card. Right. It's got all the different. It's got a bunch of different lands in it. I mean, there's like five basics in it, and then a bunch of one of non basics.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the four Scapeshifts are $76.72 right now. That's insane. I think that's one of the reasons people like Vampire is that Vampire is pretty fracking cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're all low casting costs, the most expensive cards in there is Sorin. So, and then the lands.
Yeah. So, but by at this point, you know, if you've been standard for the last year and a half, you should have these lands.
Yes. Which I was, man, I was like, this is kind of great. So, yeah. Legion's End did a lot, too. I had, like.
Legion's End is great against Scapeshift.
Yeah. Yeah, I have those three in main and one inside.
Yeah, Legion's End is very, very good against Scapeshift.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. So the meta right now, the standard meta, it's we've been saying it for the last since we started this show. It's healthy, you know. Yeah. And again, we all remember that it wasn't long ago that Hazoret was ruling the roost, and it's definitely not like modern. I mean, we can touch on that a little bit right now before we go into combat. I mean, modern
Hogak
is just
rules all.
Yeah, Hogak. When the top five of the top ten are Hogak, are one deck, it's time to think about, you know.
Well, it's the conversion rate that it consistently has. It's the win rate that it has. I guess it's got like something like almost a 70% win rate against the field, which is absurd for a deck. I mean, no deck should be like this. And they already tried to fix it by banning Bridge from Below, and Hogak was like. Okay, I still do my thing. and big, huge trample for no mana, really, really fat, hit you, die.
Yeah,
so I don't know what it got to the point where Aaron Forsyth actually had a tweet today saying that we are not doing an emergency banning, guys. There's going to be a banned and restricted announcement on August 26th. And when any changes come, which it looks like the way he said it, there will be changes coming at that point.
Yeah,
And it makes sense from this regard. There's a Magic Fest Las Vegas coming up in about a week or two.
Yeah,
and there's no sense in banning a card now, completely upending the metagame when people have spent all this time testing for to lose to Hogak.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. Did I say lose to Hogak? I meant to compete in the tournament. Sorry.
Right. It definitely would change things up, and they've shown a lack of not wanting to do that.
Well, and it's like people are saying, well, it's only because it came out in a set that was built for modern with only modern legal cards, and it's still in print, and they don't want to ban it because they're still selling packs at $7 a pack, blah, 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 even though Hogak's only a $7 rare, so you're only, you're getting your money back for the pack, and that's it. And it's just, I'd like to believe it's more of the metagame thing than the profit thing, but Wizards has shown a propensity to do the former, not the latter.
Yeah, it's the banning and restriction, it's like, sometimes I sit there and I just remember a time when it seemed like they tested better, and we didn't have to worry about banning and restricted so much. Now with modern, you can't. It's impossible.
There's too many interactions.
Yeah. But, I mean, it definitely, like, with Standard, it's sometimes I sit there and go, like, with, last year with Nexus, everybody was talking about how, we needed to ban Nexus and blah, 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 blah. Nobody saw the interaction with Nexus and everything else that was going on. And it was like, well, yeah, but why didn't they test it? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. But, a lot of what Wizards does these days doesn't make sense, which is going to bring us, I think, to combat. So let's get into that.
Combat. phase.
I think we're finally going to have a combat phase tonight, folks. Tonight's combat is really... We teased it last week. With the announcement of Throne of Eldraine, which is coming out in second week of October, right? I think pre-release is the first week.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so... Throne of Eldraine is the next set to come out. It's going to trigger a rotation. So everything before Guild of Ravnica will be out. That's Core 19, Ixalan, and Rivals.
Yep.
Gone.
And Dominaria.
Gone. Big Teferi, bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you where the good lord split you. But that being said, They're also going to change how boosters work. They're basically going to... it started with Guilds of Ravnica. They started these bonus or... I don't know what they want to call them. Theme boosters, I guess.
Yeah, they were theme boosters.
Yeah, which, you know, with Guilds and Ravnica Allegiance, they were actually built around the Guilds. So you'd get these 35-pack cards... And they would have, you know, if you got a Simic, it was blue and green, and then maybe some artifacts, and, you know, it was kind of cool. I bought a few of them because I was building things. And then they moved, when they moved out of Ravnica with War of the Spark, they moved to more of a single color in these booster packs. You know, and again, the price point's about $8. It's 35 cards. You're guaranteed one rare. But a 1 in 10 shot at hitting 2. So, okay, not horrible. You know, and again, like, if you're building a deck, these are really good things to get because you're like, well, I know that these 35 cards, you know, are going to be maybe usable in the deck I'm using. So, yeah. But now with Throne of Eldraine, they've decided to change things up even further. The standard old-school booster packs, the... You know, $4 booster packs are going to be changed to the draft, right? Those are the draft boosters.
They're the same booster packs they always were. They're just calling them something different
now. Right. And I think instead it is just being labeled a draft booster.
It's a draft pack, yeah.
Yeah. These are, you know, is that the premium foil rate will increase to roughly 1 in 3 booster packs.
That already happened.
That's already happened, yes.
Yeah, that happened with Core 2020, and I love it.
Yeah, so do I. So I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but then the reason they did that is that they are now moving to, and again, I think this is also because they're not going to be doing the Mythic editions, if I'm not mistaken.
Big clap.
Yeah, I think those are kaputs. The new edition, starting with Throne of Eldraine, and this is off-channel Fireball, by the way, is the Collector Booster. These packs will retail between $20 and $25.
That's what they're thinking, yep.
Feature one rare or mythic rare with extended art, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
These packs will also contain commons with the new showcase frame, a special treatment that evokes the theme of the set, and will be used on cards with new mechanics. For Throne of Eldraine, mythic rares, rares, and uncommons with this treatment will appear in draft boosters as well. Well, thank you. That's the least you could freaking do.
Well, I'm looking at the Wizards of the Coast article about it.
Yeah.
So I'll let you finish your thing, and then I'll give you a more detailed explanation of what's actually in the Collector Booster.
Sure. The Collector Boosters are going to be only available in English and Japanese. The buy a box promo for Throne of Eldraine will come with a Collector Booster, which is nice. All right, I'm in. I'm all about that. At the appropriate frequency, it says. And these boosters may also contain the mechanically unique cards from the Planeswalker decks and from the new Brawl deck product. Okay, that I get too. All right, so instead of having to buy a Brawl deck, you know, we can buy these Collector boosters and they can go in. There's going to be 4 Brawl decks, I mean, blah, yada, yada. So, it's an interesting thought. I mean, I have my thoughts. Go ahead and read your Wizards thing before, you know, I basically school you on how you're wrong.
So... It's going to be more expensive. Like you said, it's probably going to be $20 to $25.
Yeah, it's... which is so BS, but go on.
There's going to be 15 cards in the pack, plus a token card. The, like you said, there's going to be one rare or mythic rare with extended art. You know, it'll be like a regular booster. We don't know what the mythics will show up a lot less frequently than the rares, but you're guaranteed a rare or mythic in every pack. You're also going to get a foil rare and mythic in every pack. There's also going to be 9 foil commons and uncommons.
Right.
There's going to be 3 special frame cards.
They're all foil. So wait, all of these are foil.
All of those are foil. So you're going to get... So I've described 11 cards so far.
Right.
10 of them are foil.
Okay.
There's going to be 3 additional cards that have special frames. They're either going to be the Showcase frame or Borderless Planeswalkers.
Okay.
So that could be, you know, additional rares in your pack. So you could be looking at 3 to 4 rares or mythics in a pack.
Right.
There's going to be an ancillary card, which is going to be the buy a box for this set. And the token card is also going to be foil.
Wow. Okay. And again, I'm not opposed. All right. I guess I kind of am. I guess I am a little bit. I think $20 to $25 price point is pretty crappy. It's too high. And I get it. We're foiling everything. Okay. What's that going to do to the price of these foils? How am I going to
decrease them?
Yeah. How am I going to recoup the money I'm putting into this? Okay. With the Mythic Editions, everything was like insane. And you get in a Mythic Edition and you get the Mythic Edition packs, which is basically what this sounds like. This sounds like the Mythic Edition, like, bonus packs that came with a Mythic Edition box.
And that's different, though. Because the Mythic Editions, they were regular booster packs, but instead of a rare, you got one of the 8, or however many there were, of those Planeswalkers that were in the special foil art.
I thought it was, like, a separate pack, and then you got... Okay.
It's a regular pack, and they just replace the rare with one of the Planeswalkers, and you know which one it is before you open it.
Right. And that's fine. But, I mean, it sounds... Figure about it. Like, well, let's do the math here. You know, $20 to $25 a pack.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you wanted to buy a box, which is, let's say right now, like right now, it's $640 for a box.
Well, I think it's going to be 24 packs in a box for the collectors.
Okay. So 24 times 20 is $480.
Yeah.
$480 for a box. I mean, why? Why not take these cards? Well, why not take these cards, put one or two in each booster, raise the price by $2, raise them to $6.
That won't work. That won't work. Because then what that will do, that'll raise the price for everything else you do with Magic. Because if you're charging $6 a pack, now the drafts are going to cost 30% more. Sealed decks are going to cost a whole lot more.
Yeah, you're right. I get that. But I mean,
yeah,
it just...
and these booster packs aren't going to be built necessarily for drafting purposes. These decks are built for collectors. These are for people who don't want to say, okay, I want to buy all these things individually. I want to crack a bunch of them now and then see what I have.
Right.
Because, I mean, you'll likely get... Because remember, too, Wizards can't acknowledge the secondary market. So
and yet
there is no value beyond
the
$25
market.
You're paying for this booster pack, *... you know, underline. But if you look at the secondary market for foils, I mean, you know, you're guaranteed a foil mythic or a foil rare, 9 foil commons and uncommons, a foil token, and a promo card and a bunch of other stuff. You're probably going to be getting very easily more than $25 back.
Well, no, you're not, and I'll tell you why. Because this is what gets me. Okay, I would be fine if they were, like, saying, listen, the cards that are going to be in these are going to be primarily what you can get in a booster, but they'll be foiled or they'll be extra art. But by putting in there, okay, that these are going to also contain the mechanically unique cards from Planeswalker decks and the new Brawl deck product, well, some people tend to buy those just to have them. But now, all right, and they're completely useless. Nobody ever plays with any of those cards, really.
There's only one of those in a pack, though.
Maybe. We don't know. Nobody knows.
No, only one. Only one.
This is saying these boosters may also contain them mechanically. There's nothing to stop them from putting those in more than
one. No, I'm looking right at the article. It says one ancillary card. It's going to be... It'll either be the Buy a Box, one of the new cards from the Planeswalker, or one of the cards from a Brawl deck. It's going to be the catch-all. So there's going to be one slot in every pack for this.
That's
so you're
different.
Not going to get more than one of those cards in a pack.
As long as it's not more than that, that's fine.
Yeah, it's one card.
But then again, for $20 and $25, okay, let's say, or let's split the difference. We'll say $22.50. Okay, for $22.50 for a booster pack, I don't want commons or uncommons. Don't give me commons or uncommons. I should not have to have 7 Simic, you know, I shouldn't have to have 7 negates that are foiled just so I can keep getting, you know, my third, you know, new planeswalker that is Goldilocks, but she has, you know, like scissors for hands. I don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's like, the problem I have with this is that the return on, and again, you are going to take the market with foils, okay? And you are going to diminish it so that even if you buy these collector cards in the secondary market, which doesn't exist, but we all know exists, in that secondary market, these cards are going to be less valuable because almost anyone can get them. Like, Overgrown Tomb right now is like 7 cents or something silly because it was in a Challenger deck. You know, I mean, Arclight Phoenix went down because it was in a Challenger deck. You know, I mean, if it becomes easier to get these things, they become less chase, quote-unquote. So, I mean, that's my problem, is that, okay, you're charging me $20, $25 for cards that probably cost you $6 or $7, and you're charging me $25, and I'm not going to get any return on this investment because, yes, it's for collectors, but I've got to hope that I eventually open a Liliana of the Super Veil or whatever they're going to call it.
I gotta burst your bubble right there.
Okay, please. And again, this is how it appears to me. I could be totally wrong.
Arclight Phoenix is still $22.
Is it? Well, yeah. You know what I mean.
And Overgrown Tomb is still $7.
$7, yes.
Which is not actually that much lower than the rest of the Shocklands from Guilds of Ravnica. I mean, you know, Watery Grave is $14, Steven's is $13, but Sacred Foundry is $8, Temple Garden $7.50.
Yeah,
it really hasn't dropped the value of the card.
It did drop them a little bit. They were a lot higher before. If you look at
maybe $3-4, but also you have to remember too. Also, is that a lot of that has to do with how much play they're seeing,
right?
Arclight Phoenix isn't seeing as much play right now in Modern because of Hogak.
Right, nobody's playing. Yeah, Arclight Phoenix in Modern kind of you know.
I think here's what I think is going to happen. I think it will slightly depress the price of foils, but it'll make foils more easily accessible to the people who want to bling out their decks. Because this product, you know, this is one of those things where, like, Wizards says it and it actually kind of makes sense where they say this isn't going to be for everybody. Not everybody should be buying this.
They say that every time, and then everybody not everybody should be buying boxes, too. They say the same thing. The buy a box promo, because not everybody's buying boxes. Bull crap. Everybody buys boxes. You buy two. Like, you don't just buy a box, you buy two boxes every set. Like, give me a freaking break, dude. Mm-hmm. Of course they're expecting everybody to go on this set.
Yeah, that's why they give you the buy a box promo, because they want you to buy boxes.
Yes, but
I think most people who play this game, they either buy, you know, a bunch of boosters individually, or they'll buy singles.
I don't know. You know, I think a lot of people buy boxes.
A lot of people do buy boxes, but I don't think that's the majority of players.
That's an interesting question. That's something we should research for next week. I don't think that's combat, but how many people? Like, I might put a poll up on the page.
That'd be hard to figure out. But if you think about it this way, if you're not a competitive player, there's no reason for you to buy a box.
Sure there is if you're a collector.
Well, if you're a collector, yeah. But if you're a serious collector, what you really would do is you just pre-order the set.
What you'd do is you'd go on to MTGO and buy all the cards and then have them send them to you. Yeah. Because it's about $50 or about $150 cheaper.
Although actually not as much now because more people are playing standard sets on Arena, so they're not opening as many packs on Magic Online. So the current standard cards are more expensive than they usually were.
Oh really? That's cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting side effect of Arena.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me personally, I think this is a classic Wizards money grab. I don't think we're going to see. I'm kind of hoping it fails. Like, listen, I never bought the Mythic. And this is just it. And I know what they're doing. It's because you hear the Mythic box, you know, you hear the Mythic collection or Mythic set or whatever they were calling it.
The Mythic Edition disaster, yeah.
Yeah, the Mythic Edition. You hear Mythic Edition, and then they reveal the price point, and there's a lot of people out there who are like, I can't do that. What are you, insane? It's $300? Mm-hmm. And I got to sit in front of my computer and try to hope I get... No, you know. So then what they're doing is they're saying, okay... We're not going to sell the Mythic Edition really anymore. We're going to sell it in booster packs because everybody loves boosters. And boosters, you're buying a little bit at a time. It's like freaking Rent-A-Center, you know? And they're like, oh, just pay a little bit at a time. And meanwhile, we're basically juicing the living hell out of you.
Well, they got me hooked. I'm buying a few of these.
I don't know that I will. I kind of want to see it fail. I really do.
Well, you know me in foils.
I know you in foils. That's the problem, though. It's like for $20 or $25, there's the collector part of me that's like, I do want these because you want, the collection. You want to open the book and have it all foiled and have all the planeswalkers be full screen and all that. Yes, absolutely. I'd love that. And if I had the money to be able to just buy that set like the Mythic Editions used to do, like if $400 fell into my lap, I would have bought one.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. You pay $25 to buy, we'll say, 6 booster packs of regular Thorn of Eldraine.
Sure.
You're going to get 2 foil cards.
Maybe, yeah. One out of 10.
On average.
Yeah.
You buy 1 collector booster, you're getting 11 foils.
True.
But if you're someone who collects the shinies, there's
no guarantee that those foils are not repeat.
But you're guaranteeing a foil rare or mythic rare, which in a box of boosters, there's one or two rares and maybe one in every 6 boxes of mythic foil. So you're guaranteeing at least a foil rare, which you would normally, you'd have to crack a booster box to get.
Yeah.
You're getting a bunch of commons and uncommons and a foil token, which you can't get in regular boosters.
That's true. And I'll give you that. I still don't buy it.
If you're someone who's collecting strictly for the premium aspect of it, for the collection aspect, or just to bling out your deck, I think this is a good avenue for you. I wouldn't say buy a box of them, but I'd say buy a couple, see how you do, and then see what the prices are on the secondary market and go from there. But this gives you a leg up on having tradable foils. For someone else who wants, I really want that new foil Goldilocks, like you were saying. Yeah. I can give you 2 of these ones. I know you need those for your deck. It's another aspect, hopefully, that will allow people to get more premium cards if that's what they're after.
And how do you get these? Will these be in Walmart?
These will be in game stores.
Only LGSs.
I don't know if it's only LGSs, but they will definitely be in game stores. I'm not sure if they'll be in Walmart or not. I wouldn't be surprised to see them there.
I would hate
they'd also be slightly marked up, so they'd probably be like $30.
Then I would, you know what? If they're not going to be in Walmart, if they're like, this is a LGS exclusive, we're not even going to sell it on Amazon. Now you've got me. If you're going to do that, then yes, you've won me over. If you're only doing it at the LGS to try to drive business back to these brick and mortar places that you have done nothing but take a giant crap on for the past year and a half since you started Arena thinking you don't need them anymore, okay, you've got me. Then I'm all for it. Go to town. Make this work. If you are going to sell them at Walmart, if you're going to sell them directly through Amazon, whatever, then no, you're jerks. This is nothing more than a cash grab.
And yeah, I think these will definitely be at LGS's.
They have to be.
Yeah, well,
you'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
But I want it to be exclusively there to drive traffic to that LGS. Like
Hope that it is. Yes, I would agree with that. I can't help you with
traffic. Wow, that's funny. I mean, to me, driving that's the very important thing, is that there's so... I was talking to Steve a little bit this weekend, and, he's like, well, they're rejiggering the store, and they're moving things around because, and he's like, now we're seeing an uptick. The unspoken thing of that from Steve, and I didn't ask him, was that they saw a downtick. It's hard to believe that the game, the LGS stuff that's going on from Wizards, and, Magic is just a part of his business, Age of Sigmar and all this, but, there's a lot of movement from... brick and mortar to this online retailing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, if Wizards is going to do this, all right, if you're going to charge $20 to $25 a pack, put it in the LGS, make it exclusive. You have to go to a local game shop to do this. It will build the community. It will drive revenue. It will help your local game store so that you keep that paper business going. If you're going to put it in Walmart, I'm sorry. That's where I'm like, I absolutely don't want to support this, because I do think they need to do something for the game stores.
As a quick aside, I think some of the reason that you might be seeing a downtick, especially like in attendance for like FNMs, is that this always happens at the end of a standard cycle.
Oh yeah.
People have seen the same cards for 2 years. They're freaking sick of them. They're sick of seeing Teferi. They're sick of seeing Nexus of Fate. They're sick of seeing Thought, or they're going to keep seeing Thought Erasure.
I hate Thought Erasure.
But they're sick of seeing all those cards from Ixalan, Rivals, Dominaria, and Core 19. So you'll see an uptick again when Throne of Eldraine comes out and all that stuff rotates out and Standard gets turned
out. You see one with a new rotation, with a new set anyway. It doesn't really require rotation anymore. I think Arena took some of it. For some people, it's like, hey, I can stay home and play this in my underwear, you know? Yeah. For me, I love the like I said, sitting across from somebody. But
yeah.
I think at this combat, I don't know that we have a winner yet because, I mean, we don't obviously know. And like I said, you'll win. You've got me. I will mea culpa surrender if we find out that this is in the game stores only.
If I would not, love it if it is. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
I'd like to find out. That's something I'm going to keep an eye on. So for now, we're just going to... But I mean, we've got some things to do, and we're running low on time. We still got some correspondence here. We may actually skip the Planescapes because did you play single? Well, let's do this.
Main phase.
Okay, arena talk. Planescapes, the Amonkhet event, Singleton.
Yes.
Play it. It's worthwhile.
Played it. You went with Dimir control. Crushed it.
I played it with a mass. And crushed it. Like, I had just a basic Amass deck, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. Thanks for playing. Have fun.
Yep.
And, I mean, every single... I faced the rat deck 3 times. I'm like, you're just a moron. What type of idiot are you?
I didn't see a single rat deck. I didn't see a single Persistent Partitioner.
I did see... I saw one Persistent Partitioner, and he managed to get me... You know, he managed to get 5 out. I'm like, I'm just going to sweep.
I saw a lot of, like, mono-white, like, or white-green, like, life gain token, like a Johnny's Pride Mate type thing, and I'm like, hey, Ritual of Soot.
Oh, frack. Yeah, I love Ritual. The Ritual of Soot's beautiful.
All so, right, yeah, it was. I went, like, 6-2, and I think the only 2 losses were, like, I mulled a 4.
Yeah, so I did really well. I think I did, like, I think I went 6-2. So it was a really good... It's a fun event. I highly recommend it.
Yep. Glad it's done. Ready for the next one. Give me my next Unhinged land.
So I'm trying to find our... But moving on from that. So I got my Unhinged land. Life is good. So, let's see. Where's our page?
You're talking about the Ask Aramis stuff?
Yeah. Well, yes. We have 2 Ask Aramises today. So...
We should do the one from Twitter first.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Twitter one first. Mostly because I have it open. Okay, so, let's see here.
I got it.
You got it pulled up? Because I'm on the computer. Okay, good. Oh, wait, I got it right here. So, Steve, I'm just going to put his thing out here, at Steve McGilv, said, at Planestalkers Pod, or Planestalker Pod, which is how you get a hold of us, hey, guys, just started playing MTG 2 weeks ago. Binged the first 6 episodes of the show and enjoying it a lot. Any tips for a newbie on what to pick up? So... Well, Baker away, toys.
No. First of all, welcome to the greatest game on earth.
Yes. And that's not the NFL, but moving on.
No, yeah, and welcome to the most complex game on earth. You're 2 weeks in.
Yeah, and welcome to...
Pray you never see a card with banding.
Yes.
Because wizards don't even know what that does. So, what to pick up?
I've got an idea, but you go... If you want to...
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I mean... If he's playing standard, he probably want to pick up something like an aggro deck.
Yeah, to begin I was going to say that too. I mean, yeah,
you don't want to run out Scapeshift if you've only been playing for 2 weeks because you got to be able to learn the stack and the interactions and everything else. Watch a bunch of YouTube.
Yes, or Twitch.
Watch tons of YouTube. Watch people who stream. Watch people who are good at the game. Just absorb content. You know, Kenji Igashira. The Talarian Community College has a lot of great videos for new players on how to get better.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Limited Resources Podcast, our podcast.
Our podcast is wonderful. You should definitely watch this every day.
You know, yeah, some of these ones are obviously better at what they do than we do. You know, full disclosure. Yeah.
I would recommend absolutely aggro. And I'm going to go a step further. As far as simple aggro goes, as far as low interaction, red. Go mono red burn. That is a mono red aggro slash burn deck. It's basically put your foot on the gas, never take it off. It's one color, so you don't have to worry about things like mana. You can actually get away with having less mana. I run mine with 20. I might run yours with 22. And it helps you learn things like mulliganing and when to mulligan. And then, you know, you're going to want to...
It's fairly inexpensive.
Yeah. You're going to want to do that for a little bit, and then you're going to want to move from that... to best of 3. So that you can learn things like sideboarding, because that is a skill that even I don't have a ton of.
I still mostly go for sideboard guides on articles, because it's like, you see sideboards in some decks and you're like, what the heck is that for? And you read it and you're like, oh, well, I would never even thought about that matchup.
Yeah, so it's definitely... you know, like I said, I lost Escape Shift game four this week because I thought I had the perfect sideboard for it, but I wasn't prepared for Gates. So, I mean, it's something you learn. It's something that you get better at. After you're done with that, aggro can get a little boring.
And 2 weeks in, 2 weeks into, be prepared to lose a lot.
Yeah, you have to lose a lot. And you learn from losing. So you start to see the decks that you're playing, then go back in and see what other cards are out there. You know, maybe you start out with Goblin Chain Whirler in your deck because you found it. That's another thing. MTG Goldfish is a site with a whole lot of the decks on it. If you look under decks and then you look under standard, they'll give you the best decks that are being played right now. So you can kind of look at those, and then you can even take those, go search for YouTube. But in the mono red, you might be like, Goblin Chain Whirler, put that in. Well, about a week and a half ago on my mono red, I swapped out Chain Whirler and I put in Chandra's Spitfire, which is this flyer. Well, I like the Chain Whirler was actually going to help with that, so I put the Chain Whirler back in and I took something else out. You play with it a little bit. You're going to mess around with how it works to see how it goes.
But, and then you find the glory of islands.
Yes, and then you move to control and become an asshole. So, but
or he could end up moving to combo. You know, he could discover modern and be like, hey, that storm deck looks pretty good.
I actually had somebody play a Thousand Year Storm the other day on me against the vamp deck, and he won. He did.
Well, yeah,
he got it out.
He's gonna resolve like one or two spells after he gets that out.
Yeah, I was like, "What the frack am I supposed to do with this?"
Yeah, the best advice that I can say is just keep playing, absorb content, and learn, and just really be an open book. Just be a sponge. Absorb everything you can. Play as much as you can. You know, if you can't afford to buy a bunch of packs, sometimes you can go to a game store. They'll have like a chafe barrel where there's just a bunch of just commons and uncommons they'll give away for like a quarter, you know, and or maybe give away for free. You know, you might find someone who says, oh, you know, they drafted and they have their extra cards, just they're not keeping them, they're sitting on the end of the table, and they're like, here you go, you can take them. Sometimes you get uncommons and maybe the occasional rare.
Yeah, people do that. So I mean, and let us know what you think, man. Steve, we're glad you're listening, we're glad you found us. You know, I love it, he's listened to the first six shows. It's like we hadn't even found our footing yet. So
it was,
I mean,
bad.
Please let us know if it gets better as time goes on.
We're only like halfway horrible now, but we were a train wreck the first couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah.
My audio was so bad.
Yeah, we got you hooked up. I got the second mic, but we're really glad you're listening. And yeah, you're gonna want to stay around because we're at 26. You know what this is, Aramis? We're halfway. We're
halfway to the story.
Halfway to the story. 52-1. One of these days you'll. Which I will tell you all the story too of what this son of a bitch did.
That's me.
Yeah. With my wedding gift, he went there. So that'll be a part of it. 26 more weeks, folks. Stick around. But let's go to our... We also got an email, which was great. We got it this morning. I'm going to just say his first name. His name's Jamie. And he wrote in and he said, hey, longtime listener of the show. Which is great, by the way. Thank you, Jamie.
Yes, thank you for listening.
The discussion I'd like to create is what happens when Mono Red slows down and plays like a mid-ranger control deck with Chandra as a win con. What matchups become favored? Does the mid-ranger control shell that Mono Red can flex into allow for key disruption in the side or even main board? Sentinel Totem main to scry with War Chandra. I'm not sure what that means.
That's a artifact from...
Rivals.
I want to say Ixalan.
Yeah.
And
which is going to rotate
War
out.
And War of the Spark Chandra.
Yeah. Because I think what he's saying here, I'm not sure if he's saying like rotation or just with that. He's saying
he wants to build a mono red like control deck.
Yeah. It's out there. It said, would a control shell allow for a high threat count? What's your thoughts on this? Note, three drop Chandra into four drop War Chandra is potentially backbreaking, especially with Chandra allowing for removal spells being able to be cast twice. Best regards from a fan of the show and hosts. Oh, he's a fan of ours. I think he's a fan of me more, but I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Well, I mean, you're the aggro player.
So, Aramis, I mean, he's talking about red control. I mean, you live for control, like, because you're that much of an asshole. So, I mean, what do you think of this?
Way to make an impression on the audience, guys.
Here's my impression of the audience. With rules. Okay, go on.
You know, I mean, I haven't. I actually, honestly, haven't seen a mono red control shell.
It's out there.
I'm sure it's out there. I mean, and I can see it because I would think more. I would think it'd be almost like a Chandra tribal, because you want six drop Chandra as well.
Yeah, you definitely want it. You want the you want.
I mean, that's your finisher right there in that deck. Is you want six drop Chandra. The biggest problem with mono red right now is typical mono red control decks tend to be almost mono brown.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of artifacts
that
really shut the game down. And there really isn't that in standard. I mean, they've really shied away from the really powerful artifacts. The only one that really comes to mind is the Immortal Sun, and that goes completely against what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because it shuts off your planeswalkers. So I think the next best iteration for red control would basically just be almost like a burn control.
Cavalcade?
Maybe. Oh, no, because that's too many creatures. Like, you'd want a lot of, it would be like, what am I even thinking of? Like, Star of Extinction.
Yeah,
it would be like, you know, Flame Sweep. It would be
Alpine
cards
Sun
like that.
Or whatever, or
you know, Dracuseth.
Yeah.
You know, so you would need to find a way to ramp.
Yes.
Which is hard, again, for red to do because it doesn't have access to good artifact mana either, and red doesn't ramp that well.
I mean, without... I would think you need the Frenzy / Regulator combo.
Frenzy and Regulator, yeah. Yeah, so it would, I mean, yeah, Chandra Tribal. You'd have, like, Chandra's Embercat, you'd have for mana ramp, because that way you could cast Elementals or Chandra Planeswalkers a little bit faster. You'd have
Steamkin.
The Regulator to be able to duplicate Chandra activations.
Steamkin. I would do
probably
Steamkin.
Probably Steamkin, yeah, because that can give you some ramp.
So some Shock, some Lava Coil to try to
wipe some board.
Board
wipes. I mean, because the Chandra, the six Chandra, her board wipe doesn't hit Elementals, so it doesn't hit the Steamkin.
The four Chandra does, because you can do seven damage. Well, you do it to the player. It doesn't really work the board. But
Yeah. Four Chandra does it to the player. And then the War of the Spark Chandras, or the uncommon Chandra from Core 20, also adds mana.
Yeah. There's some ramp in her.
So, yeah, it would be some burn for sure. I mean, that might be the one where maybe this is the deck that you main the Blood Suns or the Alpine Moons.
Yeah. I forget what they're called.
It's definitely an interesting idea.
I would
curious.
Probably put in, honestly, Land Hate in the main.
You know what? Honestly, Jamie, send us a deck list.
Yeah.
And maybe we can figure that out. Maybe we'll play it on the stream.
Yeah, that would actually be cool, Jamie. If you could send us a deck list of what you're thinking, and then I'll have it, I'll let Aramis, because he loves control. I'll let Aramis build it, and then I'll play a bunch of decks against him, because for once I'll win. But...
Or not. You might get crushed.
I might get crushed.
He might be onto something.
I mean,
he might be onto something here.
I do. I mean, I was saying this weekend at Kerwin's. I definitely, like, I am high right now on the Regulator. I think Regulator with Frenzy and the Chandra 4-drop from War, I think those three cards, you should be able to keep your deck going for some time. You get those three cards out, you should be, and especially if you have a Steamkin out, you should be able to keep yourself frenzying for some time, because you get to move a land into your hand and discard something else into the, you know. You just have to keep one mana open. That's the trick.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, the 3-drop Chandra from Core 20,
yes.
Her 0 ability adds the loyalty to all Chandra Planeswalkers. So if you have multiple Chandras on the board and a Regulator, you're adding 2 loyalty counters to all your Chandras every turn for 1 mana.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Which is scary.
Yeah, the Regulator has to be a part of whatever you're doing at this point. I think that card... A lot of people are asleep on that card. I think after Wizards rotates out with red, I think you're going to see that more in red.
Could, yeah.
Because
especially, you know, if there's any controlling elements in Throne of Eldraine. But yeah, Jamie, send us a deck list.
Send us
email
a deck
it to
list,
us.
Buddy.
I'm really curious to see what you're thinking.
Yeah, me too. So thank you guys for writing in. We really do appreciate it. We are having a blast with it. I'm just gonna check one last thing here. But you know, we're really glad you can, you know, write to us easily on any number of places. We'll go through that. And nope, we don't have a new iTunes review. So, okay, so let's go ahead and...
End step.
Okay, so end step time. Both Aramis and I, as we sit here and, you know, we're going to start putting things together. We went a little over tonight, but we're picking up our cards, putting them in the boxes, putting them in the tool case, and getting everything ready to go home. We want you to know that we both stream. I more than Aramis. Even I haven't done it very much lately. We do stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look us up there, Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
I'm also on Twitch. You can follow me at RMECWRX. I'm going to try to see if I can get a regular schedule going for streaming going forward.
That would be nice. Once fall hits, I will too.
Yeah, probably looking at September before I get started. But if I can get started before then, I'll definitely let you guys know. And if you guys, like I said, if you want to follow me, RMECWRX. And I also link when I stream to the Planeswalker Podcast show. Onto that channel on Twitch. But if Twitter's more your speed and you want to get a hold of us, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter, like our friend did today.
Yes. And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I don't use it very much, but I'm always on it, kind of looking at other things. I don't generate a lot of content there, I admit that. But I'd love to have the follows, because, you know, I love endorphins. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalker Podcast and like and follow our page there. That way you can watch us do this show live on Mondays. So,
yes.
There.
You said it.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Finally, you can send us emails, like we got one today, which was great. Send us more. And even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Jamie, send me that deck. I want to see it.
Yeah, we really do.
Really, that sounds awesome. So if you do want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com.
And so with that, we want to encourage you also to leave us reviews on wherever you're grabbing this podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. God, I wish we were on there. We're going to work on that. But wherever you listen to this, please leave us a review, 4 or 5 stars. Let us know you do, and we'll read them on the show. But we want to thank you guys for listening tonight. We will be back next Monday night. Right around now, 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll record and talk about all sorts of fun stuff. We have no idea what it'll be next week, but who knows? So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, remember to always keep some of your lands untapped, because you never know when you'll need them. Take care and have a great week.